Hey, everybody, it's the Random Thoughts Podcast with Jeremiah Ortega. This is episode 4, and today's a very special episode. I'm going to talk about what, in my opinion, the weirdest, the oddest, one of the darkest episodes of Seinfeld ever recorded. It is the Briss. It is in episode 5, season 5, episode 5, the Briss. It is so strange. It is so weird. If you know the episode I'm talking about, you can find it on Netflix. You can watch it for yourself. It is dark. It is kind of disturbing. The subject matter that's brought up, that's just presented, is blah. It's kind of like, yeah, so what? And you know, that's what Seinfeld's kind of famous for. Like, we can talk about really dark stuff, and it's kind of like, meh. It's kind of like we could talk about suicide, we could talk about bulimia, we could talk about death, just all kinds of disturbing stuff. And it's kind of like, meh, you know, it's just kind of like, all right, whatever, we'll do it. And you know, like, there's no, they don't get very deep into it. They're kind of emotionally, they're a little sociopathic in how they deal with it and how these characters react to things. Like, the things that happen in this episode, they're very dark. And, okay, I keep repeating myself, it feels like, but, okay, the whole premise of the Briss, Jerry and Elaine and George are at the hospital. One of Jerry's friends, the guy he plays softball with, they just had a baby, and they wanted to name Jerry the Godfather and Elaine the Godmother. And this starts off this whole thing of Jerry throughout the episode just doing his terrible Brando impression of the Godfather. You never go against the family, Elaine. Yeah, I'm the Godfather. Yeah, I can't even. I'm even worse than Jerry. But you see, you know what I mean. You know, they massacred my boy. Look at my boy. You know, just and that comes up later in the episode. But it's just the running gag, and it's probably the only thing that's kind of consistent in the episode. It's kind of the only thing the episode's remembered for, just the reference, the Godfather references, mostly. But, okay, in the episode, we'll start at the beginning where they want to make Jerry and Elaine the Godfather, and George this whole time is just bragging. He doesn't care about the baby. He doesn't care about anything. He's obsessed about this parking space he got. It was right in front of the hospital. He couldn't believe it, and he couldn't stop talking about it. Everybody, you know, Jerry and Elaine were getting so annoyed with him. They're like, I'm taking the bus home. I can't stand this. You know, George, oh, God. George is being insufferable about the parking space. And, you know, and he's so insufferable to the point where I think, like, the creator, like, the writer of this episode, who is Larry Charles, you know, famous for directing the Borat movies with Sacha Baron Cohen. He works constantly with Sacha Baron Cohen. And he's also was a staff writer for Seinfeld. But in this instance, it was them three in the room, and Kramer was going to meet up with him. And a mental patient, I guess a deranged, suicidal mental patient, asks Kramer, where's the elevator? Kramer tells him, it's right around the corner. And also, you see some orderlies chasing him. And, you know, a few minutes later, the mental patient is on the roof. And he swan dives right onto George's car. He kills himself, point blank. And it's played for laughs, big laughs. And I'm like, holy shit. And George is screaming, my car, my car. And, you know, he just hauls ass running out the scene. And it's so weird. The whole thing was played for cheap laughs. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. You know, it's like if you saw somebody commit suicide, you know, just boom, splat, brain, blood. All that disgusting human matter, just the meat explosion on your car. I mean, wow. That is something. And you know, the whole thing, the whole sociopathic nature of Seinfeld, just, meh, yeah, whatever. You know, yeah, it's kind of like George got what he deserved for bragging so much. I guess that's the whole, it's the funny thing about it, that George is getting punished for just talking so much shit, just being an insufferable ass about the car, about the spot, that he's you know, he got punished for it. That's obviously what happened here, but... Excuse me, a little gaseous tonight, but I'm saying, man, wow, that is the whole, that's the first crazy dark thing that happened at the hospital. And the second, while Kramer is looking for the room, he accidentally goes into somebody's room and he thinks he's discovered a pig man, a mutant half pig, half man. And you hear like these weird like little and you think, oh my God, what the hell's going on? And you know, that's just, and okay, so all of a sudden Kramer becomes obsessed that they're doing experiments at the hospital. There's a mutant race of pigmen. There's a, what do you call it? They've been conducting pigmen experiments since the 50s. You know, just an outrageous over the top conspiracy we can all relate to. And, you know, they just start riffing on the pigmen. That was pretty relatable. I like that part. They start riffing. George starts saying, I wish there were pigmen, you know? So when I'm getting set up, he's like, hey, at least he's no pigman, you know? It's just, that was really funny. It's like the writer's room. They're just bouncing ideas off back and forth on each other. And Jerry goes, he starts riffing and saying, yeah, some women would still be, there's still some demented woman out there who's saying, I don't know, that little tail really turns me on, you know? It's just funny stuff, funny dialogue, just little jokes that are probably swatted around in the writer's room that made the final cut. And then Elaine's just all like, oh God, this is, you know, she just gets so pissed off and, you know, disgusted with the whole thing. She just takes off. You know, and then she has to look for the Moyle. Okay, that's the main thing about being, okay, getting back to the whole godfather, godmother thing. They have to look for the Moyle, for the circumcision, for the whole thing of the bris. And Elaine is looking, she can't find any Moyles in the phone book. That's another thing. Motels, and she starts going, but no Moyles. You know, that's another good thing, funny thing about the episode. And so as we move forward, we get back in the hospital. We see, and then that's another thing. You're like, what? It was so weird, like so odd. The behavior, you know, is the behavior exhibited by the people involved in this whole suicide splat on the car, on George's car. George went to go see the hospital administrator next in the episode, and she's like, I can't believe this happened. She's very, very pompous, self-righteous woman. And George is like, well, yeah, somebody's going to have to pay for this. And he has a fucking point. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm pretty sure George should have lawyered the fuck up. The hospital is responsible for this man who ended his life on George's car. I mean, I'm not no lawyer, but I'm pretty sure a fucking lawyers would be swarming George. They'd be swamping George for the piece of this action from this hospital. And George is like, he's going like a real timid, you know. George talks a big game. He talks a lot of shit, but when, you know, he actually has to confront people, he gets very timid and small. And it's, you know, they were playing that for laughs too. And the fact that George couldn't, you know, he's like, okay, well, here's the estimate. And, you know, it's a little bit much, but it's a little more. And the woman is like, how dare you? A life was lost. And I can't believe you're expecting us to pay. Well, fuck yeah, lady. Who the fuck do you think you are? The hospital fucked up. Your people fucked up. I'm like, what the hell is going on? This makes zero fucking sense. The hospital should be on their hands and knees. I'm like, of course we'll pay for the car. Our insurance is going to cover you, Mr. Costanza. You have our blessing. We're going to make this right. Instead, she's like, fuck you, Costanza. I'm like, oh my God. All of a sudden, he's on city property? Like, that didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, George is a vindictive guy. He's going to get what he wants. He goes through, you know, through the course of Seinfeld. He's a petty son of a bitch. He's a petty motherfucker, George. And that's what you love about him. He's petty. He's a narcissistic liar. He's a liar. And he's just all of us. He's all our worst qualities put into one, encapsulated into one person, mostly. It's not a lie if you believe it, Jerry. You know, he's a bad influence, and he is that guy who will get his revenge. He followed a guy all the way outside the city because he thought he was giving him the finger. You know, George is crazy like that. George is wild, and for him to just give up and to run away, I'm like, George, what the hell are you doing, buddy? This is your chance. You were in the right. You were not being petty. You have hand, man. You have the upper hand, George. And you didn't follow through with it? It could have been a big settlement, buddy. I'm like, oh my God, George. You ran away like a coward. You threw the estimate on her desk and she's like, get out now. Such a self-righteous, pompous bitch. I could not stand that. That actress did a great job at really making me fucking hate her. this hospital administration lady. She's like, how dare you? A man is dead, and you think about, you greedily come with us about money. I was like, oh, fucking George. Fuck her up, George. Financially. Not physically. But, oh, George, you really shit the bed on that, Costanza. I can't stand you. You know, I couldn't believe you did that, George. You just let her get away with it. And, okay, so after that, that's one of my main things. The whole behavior of that scene was just strange. It was, like, reversed. It was like, George, come on, George. You should be going after these people. And I guess that's where some of the comedy was, just by the opposite reactions. Like, she's, instead of George being self-righteous and like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to take you for everything you're worth, lady. I'm going to take this hospital for everything it's worth. The lady's like, how dare you? And he's like, oh, he's like, he's a scared, timid little man. I'm like, George. And he's exhibited this behavior before in past episodes, where that woman who was also pregnant, she was having the baby shower episode, where George showed up and he wanted to confront her. And then when the time came to confront, he couldn't do it. And George is a coward, essentially. But George had a hand. He had the upper hand, and he didn't play it. He rarely has the upper hand. He's always, when he's in the wrong, is when he feels emboldened. That's the crazy thing about Costanza. Whenever he's down, that's when he thinks he can win. When he knows he can't win, he tries and he believes wholeheartedly he can. This time, this was a slam dunk. For some reason, he didn't pursue it. And I guess that's why they kind of ran out of this creative thing. It kind of just ran into a brick wall. There was nothing more to go, nowhere more to go, except for more sight gags that we'll get to that at the end of the episode. And, okay, and moving forward, we get to the Briss scene. The Briss scene was actually really funny. The Moyle they found is just this eccentric, almost psychotic, you know, just, ooh, he's very jumpy, he's very neurotic, and he's the worst guy you'd want to do the Briss. And he reminded me of Billy Eichner. He had that crazy manic energy. You just go on and on and on. And how dare you? And there's glass. You're putting glass at the edge of the table. It's going to break. And it's going to be in the fibers forever. You know, that whole rant. This guy ranted. And the rants are great. Everybody was on edge. Everything was all up the ante whenever it should be like a peaceful calm. And this guy's going to cut. He's going to circumcise my kid. And he's insane. You know, it was really funny. And if they ever remake that episode, Billy Eichner would be the guy. You'd be the Moyle that I would choose. It's just the same energy, the same craziness. And, you know, Kramer, this whole time he's against it. He's trying to take the baby away. Michael Richards is doing his crazy physical comedy. He falls off the couch. They barely get the baby. And Jerry has to hold the baby. He's part of being the godfather. And so when they finally get to the whole circumcision thing, they you know, they cut away, of course. George faints. Jerry flinches. You flinched. And he's like, oh, you shook. You know, Jerry and the Moyle have this funny little back and forth. And the Moyle ends up cutting Jerry. He cut his finger. He circumcised Jerry's finger. That was the funny part. The funniest part of this whole suicide jump was that George's car was all crumpled. I guess that's essentially where they wanted us to go. They thought that was going to be Larry Charles thought that was going to be the big laugh where the car is crumpled and they're all inside and they're kind of just... They have to put their heads sideways and kind of just and the vinyl from the roof is getting in George's face. He's kind of moving it. It's okay. That's I guess that was a whole big buildup to that sight gag for the you know for George's car. And did it really pay off? Not really. I mean, it was funny for a few seconds, but after that, like we went through this whole charade, this whole facade about this whole. And there was nothing else. It's like they ran out of jokes. They couldn't find any good. That was the whole closure to the whole reason George was punished for getting that great spot. His car was crumpled. The whole scene. So they took, you know, Jerry was going to the hospital. The baby was fine. He went to the hospital just as a precaution. And, you know, they couldn't leave the baby there bleeding to death. So they had to kind of wrap, in order to wrap the whole story up, they ended up back at the hospital where the episode began, and there we also get closure to the Kramer's obsession with the Pigman. He eventually busts out the Pigman from the hospital, turns out, and then he stole George's car. So that's George was punished twice. He gets screwed over by the suicidal guy who jumped and he fell on his car and died. Then he gets his car stolen by the pig man. Oh, that George. That's twice. You know, this hospital fucked over George and he just didn't care. Like, he's just, I can't do anything about it. You can't do nothing, George. You're a powerless little wimp. You coward. I was very disappointed in you, Costanzo. I thought you were going to fight because you're a fighter. But here he didn't fight. So it was like, wow, George is very passive. He wasn't obsessed. He wasn't, you know, angered like he usually is. I am aware, you know, that George and his freakouts. And, you know, that's why it's just the behavior exhibited by the characters was just up to 10, you know, 10, 11, 12. And how crazy this whole episode was cranked up. And it was all centered on the bris, the circumcision of the baby. And when they get to the hospital, the Moyle's there, Jerry's there. They send Fletcher, butcher boy. And he had, because the Moyle also did a funny bit about his brother being a kosher butcher. And he went into being a bris or the Moyle. And he said he makes good money. He's got a union. They got benefits. You know, and it's just, it was just fun. That was like the funniest part. You know, of course, Seinfeld, it's got its own unique. And that's basically the episode. And at the end of the episode, the pigman steals George's car. He's trying to report it to the cops. Kramer says, no, he's not a pigman. He's just an angry little mental patient. You know, just they had the mental hospital there with a regular ward. So this hospital is just all kinds of fucked. And, you know, after that, I know it sounds all terrible, but oh, God, I'm terrible at describing episodes. If you're following me, the whole point of this podcast episode was just to talk about how strange and how dark it was. I mean, yes, the behavior exhibited by the characters on Seinfeld is always extreme. It's always to the max. It's always, you know, very narcissistic, very neurotic. And this was just pure sociopath behavior. And just by everybody, not even in the gang, just by the people who, just the bit players, like from the Moyle to the psychopaths who fucked with George's car to the hospital administrator, this terrible bitchy lady who somehow felt the hospital wasn't responsible at all for what happened to George's car. And I'm like, come on, Georgie boy. You got to do something. And he didn't do anything. I'm like, come on, man. It just felt so strange. And that's it. This was by far is the, in my opinion, just the darkest episode and the most random, just the pig man. That shit kind of felt out of nowhere. And it just came out of nowhere, you know, just Kramer being weird and crazy and conspiracy theorist. And George being obsessed. It was pure George just being obsessed with his parking spot. And just the whole thing of the Moyle story that was driving the whole plot of the episode. And it just felt very unsatisfying to me, the ending. And at the end, the Jerry's friend and his wife show up and they say, Jerry, you're out. You're not the godfather. And the whole thing is the twist. They made Kramer the godfather because of how much he cared for the kid. And they did the one last godfather bit. Just godfather, godfather, you know, just like the ending scene of the godfather. And that's how the episode ended, you know. It just, to me, it felt just very, I'm not going to say unoriginal because that was some original ass shit. That was some strange ass shit. It was the strange shit that just catches your attention. But in overall, in the canon of Seinfeld, it's kind of a forgotten episode. Like, who thinks of the Bris as their favorite episode? I'm not really anybody. Not anybody I've ever talked to about Seinfeld. You know, got their favorites. They got the yada yada. They got the contest. They got the soup Nazi. They got the. There's a few. There's the letter, the Cheever letters, even the Festivus, the strike, the opera. When Kramer moved to LA. There's so many good. There's so many brilliant, like just standalone the bottle episodes, like the Chinese restaurant, the parking garage, the airport. And nobody brings up the Bris as one of their favorites. And I just wanted to talk about it for that very reason compared to other episodes. Like the only other episode that I could think of was just so weird and just quirky and just dark and sociopathic was maybe the handicap space where they convinced George to stay in to park in the handicap space when they went to the mall to get the Drake a TV. I believe that's the episode, yeah, when they couldn't find a place. And so they leave the car there. There's a the lady gets her, the handicapped woman hurts herself. She has to go to the hospital. Then everybody at the, they said this jerk was driving without a handicap space. They trashed George's, Frank's car because George was driving his dad's car, Frank's, Costanza's car. Sorry. And all these crazy noises. And, that's it. That's the only other kind of episode where like they callously do something. And, you know, they buy her a cheap defective wheelchair. Like, that's another terrible thing. Just another day in the life of the Seinfeld characters, you know, a day in the life of Costanza. And then Kramer, how he fell in love with a handicapped woman. She rejected him, called him a hipster doofus. You know, that's what I mean. It's a much more memorable episode. They arrest Frank. And that's when they start talking about the pilot. They get the meta pilot for NBC. George can't pay back his dad, so he agrees to become his butler, just like they're writing on the show. And just like, that's what I mean. There's so many more memorable parts. He's like, Drew was shining Frank's shoes, and he says, "You're supposed to see a face in there. Do you see a face in there?" You know, just all these crazy lines and all the crazy dialogue. And it's good stuff. You know, it's more memorable than this. And then the whole wheelchair salesman is like, "You're almost happy to be handicapped." You know. It's really good stuff. They've been much more quotable. There was nothing in the Brist that was quotable. I mean, the Moyle had the craziest, like, best part, but it was just such a rant. You don't really remember it. There wasn't really a memorable line about the whole thing about the pig people or the pigmen. George is talking about it, and maybe that was probably the most memorable part. But you know, the pigmen, the Godfather, and that's why that's what I wanted to wrap around. It just didn't feel like Seinfeld. It felt off. And I'm saying, I don't know how many episodes Larry Charles wrote, but it was an oddball. It's an oddball episode in the whole canon of Seinfeld, in the totality. It didn't feel like a Larry David written episode. It didn't feel like a Jerry episode. It was just different. It didn't feel like a Carol Lifer episode. And, Larry Charles has his own unique voice in comedy. So I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying it was fucking weird, you know. And that kind of like comes up in how Larry Charles, you know, he does this weird, outlandish, gotcha kind of like fucking gonzo comedy work with Sacha Baron Cohen, with his documentary style Borat and Bruno, and then I guess even directed Religious with Bill Maher. So he's he works with a lot of comedians, a lot of different type of comedians. There aren't just stand-ups or sitcoms. So maybe that's why it feels so different. But, props to Larry Charles for being fucking weird, just letting a Seinfeld episode for as odd and dark and not angry, but just, narcissistic, as selfish as the characters on Seinfeld can be. These situations they got in here were just fucking crazy. Just weird and out there, man. Just how much shit could go wrong to George, like how much bad shit can happen to the guy in the episode. And he's kind of just like, meh, whatever. And just the whole thing of the Briss and, I'm just saying, people, with Seinfeld, it's my favorite show of all time. I watched it since I was a kid till I'm an adult. I'll quote it till I die, I guess, If you get it, you get it. If you're a Friends fan, you're stupid in my book. And I don't care. Frasier's inferior. Cheers is meh. It's okay. It's a good show. But I mean, yeah, Seinfeld's the best. And I mean, it's so rewatchable, as it's been in reruns for 20 years. And it doesn't seem like, no, there's no end in sight. And then the whole thing of Netflix. That's what I was watching it on Netflix now. And it's weird. They cut a lot out of it. They cut out the beginning when George was really going on about his parking space, and they kind of cut to the hospital scene. They really didn't do any sort of cold opening. They cut out the cold opening. So, I tell you, folks, it's just, it just stuck out. It sticks out like a sore thumb to me. And the only other episode I could think of is maybe when Elaine was dating that really old guy and he got a stroke. But even that storyline is kind of overwhelmed by the Woody Allen shooting and the whole, these pretzels are making me thirsty. You know, that's what everybody remembers. They don't remember the old man and Elaine, that storyline, you know. It was strange, too. Like, Elaine was fucking this old guy on the other side of town. He's deep 60s, probably 70s. He gets a stroke. And they try to, you know, stuff crackers in his mouth. A lot of physical humor, a lot of sight gags. And he ends up, you know, not being able to speak in a wheelchair just by himself. She's feeding him Yankee beans. Just, I like my Yankee beans. Just singing that song to him. And it's just, I know. Maybe it's because in real life I've dealt with a stroke victim. My grandmother had a stroke, a massive stoke. And it's not as fun or as funny as it seems on Seinfeld. It was super fucking dark. Like, man, Elaine is really fucking just, like I tell you, just total sociopath. And I'm like, God damn. It's a bitch to get here. You gotta take three. She just starts bitching and breaking up with him. I know that's where the comedy's at, but I'm just like, God damn. These people are fucking monsters. That's all you gotta say. There's no compassion. There's no empathy. There's no sympathy for these people who they're interacting with. And I'm like, God damn, Elaine. This really? Fuck. She's fucking cold as fuck. Everybody on Seinfeld cold as fuck. That's the whole thing. They're fucking ice cold, selfish people. But you love them. You love them as characters because they don't change. They're static. They don't learn. They keep doing dumb shit over and over again. That's why it worked for so long. You know, that's a sitcom. Usually when it runs as long as Seinfeld did, they run out of ideas. They change the characters. They change who they are, you know, fundamentally. And you know, that's when the show usually gets canceled, you know. They get canceled because the characters aren't the same. The show is not fresh anymore. It's not fun. You don't care for the characters like you used to, you know. And that's sad. So, you know, props to Seinfeld for taking crazy chances like this whole, the Briss, like the wheelchair episode and the stroke episode, the Woody Allen episode. And I can't remember their names exactly, but that's what they were. It's the Woody Allen. These pretzels are making me thirsty. You can check it all out on Netflix. Seinfeld is on Netflix. Also, if you got like a satellite cable service, you know, it's on TBS. TNT, True TV, wherever it's coming out. Seinfeld will come out till, I don't know, till the sun burns out, I'm guessing. And I'm totally fine with that. I've watched every episode 10 to 15 times. If you guys want to talk about more, I'll probably think of more Seinfeld episodes to do. Just because I like the show so much and just the ideas of Seinfeld, where comedy's going, where, you know, what these ideas, that the creativity that Seinfeld brought out. And just the classic sitcom moments, you know, that's always interesting to me. You see where the writer's head was. That's what you want to try to examine or determine. That's why. Where was Larry Charles when he was writing this? What the hell was going through his brain? Like, I mean, how did his style affect the episode? Affect the characters? Affect the plot? And I'm not saying, and like I said at the beginning, it's not a bad episode. It's very funny, but it's an episode that doesn't get much, you know, much hype, or nobody talks about it, nobody remembers it, nobody quotes it. And that's like that's something big with Seinfeld. If you think it's a good episode, it's quotable, it's memorable, the characters are memorable. But like I say, anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. My time here is short, so I just want to end. Catch the Briss if you can. It's really funny, but really dark and really weird. And that's it. And I'll be back soon. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Random Thoughts Broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremiah Ortega. We'll talk soon. Goodbye.